Anchored.
Amen.
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 Anchored.
Right.
I praise the Lord for the truth of the song. All the songs today have been really good. Even the congregational selections were just right in line with the message that God's laid on my heart this morning. Psalm 57, before I get into the message, I just want to go, because of the song that was sung, to verse number 7. And I hope that you can say this. I truly do. My heart is fixed.
Amen.
Now, don't get that word confused. It doesn't mean repaired. It means steadfast.
Amen.
It's settled. I am going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Come what may.
Amen.
I'm not going to allow the circumstances of life to control me.
Amen.
I'm a child of the King.
I'm
going to heaven.
Right.
My sins are forgiven.
Amen.
I'm a part of the greatest family in heaven and earth,
Amen.
The family of God.
Amen.
And I can say with the psalmist, by the grace of God, come hell or high water, mountaintop, valley, or even as David wrote this, if you look at the heading under Psalm 57, in a cave, my heart is fixed. It's settled.
Amen.
I'm going to serve God in my life.
Amen.
If God's not worthy to be served in the cave, where is He worthy to be served?
Amen.
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 If God can't navigate us through the trials and the storms of life, is He really God? I say, in from everlasting to everlasting, He is God.
Amen.
And He can navigate us. And He has, and He will, because He careth for us. And I'm so thankful that I know these truths. They've just been made evident over these 40 years that I've been walking with Him. He's shown Himself time and time again to be faithful. Our God is a faithful God. He will never leave nor forsake His own. Can stand before you today and say that though I may not be rich materially speaking, and there's nothing wrong with that if you get it the right way and you keep your perspective, so I'm not taking a knock at that. I just so happen not to be that. But I am wealthy in things that, well, money cannot buy. I have the riches of Christ, and I'm thankful for the goodness of God in my life. And I just believe with all of my heart that you are as well. I sense it. We're God's people. We're a called out people. We have purpose in life. And I'm just so thankful that God has gotten involved in my life. I marvel that the God of heaven would get involved in my life. Oh, would to God that we could just stay fixed on that for a moment. The God of heaven has gotten involved in our lives individually. He cares. He understands. He's there. He never leaves. He meets needs. He dries wet eyes. Amen. He gives peace in the midst of sorrow. God is there. And I'm so thankful that He is. Just thankful. Well, that's what this psalm is about. You know anything about Psalm 57? If you'll look at the head of the psalm, it says, to the chief musician, Atalishchith, Nitcham of David, when he fled from Saul in a cave, Abdullon. You've read about this, haven't you, over in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel? David fleeing from Saul. Back in that cave, I mean, listen, those caves in that area are huge. I've done some research on them, huge. There's rooms bigger than this sanctuary, bigger than this building, just in the cave, inside the cave itself. You could fit hundreds and thousands of people inside those caves. And David was inside that cave. So I don't believe that. Do the research, and then you will. David was inside that cave. You know the occasion? You read the occasion where David was there, fleeing from Saul. And Saul didn't see him when he walked into the cave. to relieve himself. And David could have took his life. But he showed him mercy. And then he told him the truth. Why do you think David did that? Why do you think David showed him mercy and then told him the truth as he communed with him there in that cave? When you read this psalm, the Bible tells you, you don't have to guess. You don't have to speculate. The Bible tells us why. This psalm is broken down in basically a prayer and a praise, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The prayer in verse number 1 is because of these calamities. You see that there in verse number 1? You know, calamities have a way of driving us to prayer, don't they? They really do. And so David, this man after God's own heart, he encountered calamities too. You've encountered them. I've encountered them. Some of you are encountering them even today. Calamities are a part of life. And calamities will drive us to what means something to us. Calamities will drive us to where our strength is. I pray that calamities have driven you to God. Because God has the answer. God meets the need. And that's exactly what happened, as we shall see here in just a moment. This song, and that's what it is, a song. Isn't it amazing that even in a cave, God can give a man a song? I mean, it's amazing to me. It's just how wonderful God is. Here's a man. I mean, listen, I don't know how much you know about the background. I don't have the time to go into the background. But here's a man that God gave a song in a cave, running, fleeing for his life. See, that's what God can do. That's how God can turn things when we turn it over to Him instead of try to bear it ourselves. And so these calamities drove him to prayer. And we'll come back to that. But then there's this refrain in verse number 5. The song kind of has two refrains. It's kind of like a chorus. Look at verse number 5 where David said this: "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Look at verse number 11. This is the second refrain after the second section. And it's the same thing. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now, what is David saying? He's saying, God, whether I'm in calamities, I pray you get the glory. Or whether my heart is fixed and I'm rejoicing and I'm sharing your goodness with others and I'm praising you, not prayer, I'm praising you, then I pray you'd get the glory. Regardless of what's going on in my life, God, I just want you to get the glory. What a way to live life. Are you living it that way? You can. We all can. God will help us. I pray that you are. It's the greatest way to live this life. God, I just want my life to glorify you. And that's basically what David is saying in this psalm. If you get nothing else out of it, and we'll just focus on that. But there's so much more. If you'll just say, God, when my life is falling apart and I don't understand what you're doing and I'm in these calamities, God, I just want you to be exalted. Right? I just want you to get the glory. God, would you use these situations in my life to get glory to your name? And then there'll be times in my life where I'm praising you. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted." God, and I not only want you to be exalted in the calamities, I want you to be exalted in the realities. I not only want you to be exalted in prayer, I want you to be exalted in praise. I just want you to be glorified in every aspect of my life. God, help me to live this life. God, help you to live it. Can I tell you, there's a world out there that needs to see some Christians glorify God in the cave. In the cave. I don't want to be a fair weather Christian only now. That's right. Oh, listen, the songwriter said, when you're up on the mountain, it's easy to praise God and to have strong faith. But what about when you get in the valley? What about when you get in the cave? Can I tell you, God will prove himself to you faithful in those situations as well. How many of you can say, "Preacher, I've experienced it. I know what you speak of this morning." Many, many of you. And for those of you who haven't, I pray to God that that you would yield yourself and lend yourself to the reality that this could be your life, because it can be. It can be. Well, let's just get into this a little bit in our remaining time. I want to give you some truths I hope will really be a help to you. God knows my heart. I just want God to be exalted. I want you to be helped. If we could leave here today and those two things would be accomplished, then I just believe God would be pleased. If God would be exalted, and if God's people could receive some help, I just believe God would be pleased with that. That's my prayer this morning. That's my prayer. Let's look, if you would, at this psalm, Psalm 57. Notice, if you would, David said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." You know, the Bible clearly teaches that when there is this double mention, that it's for emphasis. And here David is saying, "God, I'm in a bad place. I'm hurting. I don't know which way to turn. God, I need you." Now, I believe David realized he needed God every day in every situation of his life. But I just believe this was one of those situations as some of us have encountered, maybe not on the measure in which David was, but we realize, "God, this is a little different situation. I really need your mercy. I need your help. God, would you be merciful to me? This is not looking good. And yet you promised me some things, and God, you've given your word, and I'm just asking you, God, show me mercy." Look, if you would, he said, "For my soul trusteth in thee." And I want you to watch very carefully what happens here. There's a great lesson to be learned in the remainder of verse number 1. He said, "My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." David is saying here, "God, hide me. Hide me. Put me in the hiding place. I want to be under your wing." Look what he said. "In the shadow of thy wings." That's the protected place of God in the Scripture. When you find that phrase in the Scripture, it's symbolic in its teaching, and it's God just kind of drawing us near to His side and hovering over us with His loving arms and protecting us and hiding us from the calamities that are around us. And David is saying, "God, I need you like this right now in my life." You ever been there? Maybe you're not running from someone. Maybe you were not even chased into a cave. Maybe you didn't flee into a cave. Maybe you entered into it of your own free will and volition. I don't know. But when we find ourselves in this predicament, in these calamities, I'm here to tell you that God will help us. Did you notice what happened in David's life? When David was younger, he found his refuge in a place. You know, so many people are this way. I can recall when I was younger that oftentimes places gave me security. Maybe for you it was home. Maybe it was a doctor's office. It's never given me security, but maybe I said you, okay? Maybe it was a friend, or maybe a spiritual advisor, I don't know. It was a place. You were in their presence, you were in their home, and you just felt that security. But I want you to notice what David does here. He said, "I'm in this cave, and I fled here for refuge, but my trust is not in this cave." Don't miss this now. Notice what he said in verse number 1. He said, "For my soul trusteth in this cave." No, that's not what he said. "God, I'm in this cave, but I'm trusting you." Amen. Look what he said. He mentioned it again. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings." God, my refuge is not in a place, though I'm in this cave. My refuge is in a person. Amen. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, the psalmist wrote in another psalm. A very present help in trouble. Thank God that God is our refuge. God alone can take care of us, brethren. I want to say that again. God alone can take care of us. certainly thankful for the people that God put in the pathway of our lives and in the journey here on this earth. I'm thankful for what God gives us and how God provides and how God interacts and intertwines people in the course of our life. But I can tell you that God alone is enough. God alone is enough. I cannot overstate this. And David realized it in this cave. I'm in this cave, but this cave is not where my trust is. My soul, look at it again, trusteth in thee. I thank God for church, and I believe folks ought to be faithful to church. But I want to tell you something, and I'm the pastor. I love church. I love being here, and I love you being here. But I'm not trusting the church. I love church. We're those who are the church. My refuge is in Christ. And I pray to God that's where yours is. The church can help us. Thank God for a good body of believers who we can draw strength from and who we can get encouragement from. Thank God for that. But now our refuge is in Christ, God alone. So he said, hide me. You see that in verse number 1? Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And then look at verse number 2. He said, hear me. He said, I will cry unto God, the Most High God, that performeth all things for me. What a verse of Scripture. I could take the rest of the time this morning, come back tonight, and not exhaust that. I don't even know that I have what it takes to exhaust that. What is he saying? Look at it. I will cry unto God, I like this, Most High. There's none above you, Lord. Though my troubles mount, God is higher than all my troubles. That's what he's saying. I don't have a problem in my life. I don't have a care in my life. Don't have a burden in my life. Don't have a calamity in my life that is higher than God is high. He said, the Most High God. I'm glad that's who I'm hooked up with. Amen. I'm glad that I know the Most High God. Amen. I'm not talking about some God in a pocket. I'm not talking about some God on the shelf. I'm talking to you this morning about the Most High God, brethren. There's none beside him. David knew him. And he said, I'm crying to you. That's the one we need to cry to when our calamities come upon us. Isn't it? The Most High God. I was talking to our Sunday school class this morning. God's really been dealing with me. Your pastor needs to pray more. The Bible says in Philippians 4, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, I fear that our churches have fallen, and I'm guilty. I'm not condemning you. I don't know where you are in your life. If we're not careful, we'll lead life by doing like they did in the days of the judges, which is right in our own eyes. Didn't say they did wrong in their own eyes, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We need to get to praying and finding out what God wants. Say amen. God, help me to pray more. You say, you going to pray about everything? Well, I think I'm going to go from praying about more. I think I'm going to take a step at a time. I don't know that, you know, I want to stand up here before God's people, before the God of heaven, and say, I'm going to pray about everything. That's my goal. I will tell you that. God has dealt with me. We need to pray about more. I think we're making a lot of decisions that are based on what we think is right. Can I tell you, that's what got the children of Israel, the days of the judges, in bondage. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I don't want to do that. But why? Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to consult God. I want to inquire of the Lord. And that's what David is doing. Look at it. He said, hide me, verse 1. Verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now, you know I'm a King James man. I'm King James through and through. So, well, I'm going to talk to you after service. Won't do you no good if you're going to try to change me. My heart is fixed. I just want you to know it's fixed. But I do want to point something out to you that I think, you know, that might help a little. If you'll notice in verse number 2, if you'll notice, all things are in italics, which simply means that it was placed there by the translators to help bring clarity to the text. That's one of the things I really appreciate about our King James Bible. They didn't just insert things there. They wanted to make a notation, especially letting us know this was placed there by the translators to try to bring clarity to this text. So that's honesty. I appreciate that. This verse says this: I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth for me. But then I like what the translators did here. All things. Amen. What do you mean? God is a God of activity. Don't you ever forget that. I've said that 1,000 times behind this pulpit over the last 15 years. God is a God of activity. God is a God that performs things for us. Look at it again. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God is at work in our lives. Say, preacher, I can't see God moving. Just know that He's moving. God's moving whether you see them or not. God's working whether we realize it or not. God is a God of activity. God is a God that performeth for me and for you. Aren't you glad that God does that? What is David saying? He's saying, God, I have all confidence. You're going to get involved in this situation. Turn, if you would, just a few pages, depending on how large your print is. Psalm 61. Praise and performance go together. Look at Psalm 51. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 51, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. See, there's something about praising God. There's something about lifting up the name of God that gets God involved in our work and us involved in God's work. Praise is important. Now here in Psalm 57, he's praying. And he's saying, God, number one, hide me. Lord, you're my refuge. And then he's saying in verse number 2, God, hear me. I'm crying unto you, and I'm crying with the confidence that you performeth all things for me. You're going to get involved in my situation. Hey, well, preacher, God won't get involved in my situation. Have you called on Him? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. So while we say God won't, God says, I will. I will. And then thirdly, look at verse number 3. He shall send from heaven to save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. God help me. That's what he's saying. So in these first three verses, he's saying, God, hide me. I want you to be my refuge. I want to just get up under your wing. I want to get real up close to you. You know, if you get under the wing, you got to get close. Just want to get real up close to you, God. Hide me. Then he said, God, hear me. Hear me. I cry unto you. You're the Most High God. I just believe there's nothing you cannot do, Lord. Perform on my behalf. And then he said, God, help me. Send some help from heaven. Look what he said there in verse number 3. He shall send from heaven. Can I tell you God does that? Did you know the Bible teaches that the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him? That God has given us ministering spirits, angels, to help us in this old journey of life. Don't you ever discount what God is doing in your behalf and my behalf from heaven. David knew about it. And he said this. He said, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. What's God going to send him? He's going to send him exactly what he needs. He needs to show Saul mercy, and he needs to tell Saul the truth. And I want you to notice exactly what God sent him. He said in verse number 3, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. I am so glad that God performeth exactly what we need. I just want to bless his holy name. Time and time and time again in my life, God gave me exactly what I needed. Exactly. How many can testify with me God's done that for you? God has given me exactly in my life what I needed. Can I tell you that oftentimes God gives me more than enough? He just is good that way. That's all I know to say. God is just good that way. And so here he is making this prayer. He said, God, I need you to help me. Now why? Look what he said. My soul, in verse 4, is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are sharp sword, like a sharp sword. He said in verse number 6, he said, they have prepared a net for my steps. He said, God, I have enemies. I have those that are trying to defeat and discourage and bring me down. Can I tell you, if you serve God, that's always going to be your lot in life. If you serve God, somebody's always going to have something negative to say about you. I want you to know that. So wait a minute now, preacher. I didn't come to church to hear that. Tell me how good life's going to be. Oh, it doesn't get any better than being saved. So, yeah. But now, it's not all roses and smooth water and smooth sailing and mountaintops. Amen. There's enemies of the gospel. There's enemies of the church. There's enemies of the Bible. There are those that will speak out against what we do here. They'll say, well, they're controlling. Well, they have narrow minds. Well, that preacher screams and makes you feel inferior. I hope my screaming don't make you feel inferior. If screaming makes you feel inferior, stay away from all the ball stadiums. You'll have to live under a rock. And so on and on it goes. And throughout the scripture, it just happens. When men fix in their heart that they're going to serve God, there's always going to be opposition. But by the good grace of God, we're not going to quit. Well, we'll back off, preacher. We'll slack up. Oh, no, we won't, by the grace of God. Going to stick with this book. Going to stick with the Most High God. Amen. He's worthy. He's done too much for us to turn back. He's been too good for us to slack off. Say amen now. Hey, help me out. By the grace of God, I don't want to back up and slack off and mamby-pamby, wishy-washy. Hey, we need some men and women that'll stand up in the face of calamity and say, my heart is fixed, amen. Gonna serve God in the good time and gonna serve God in the bad time. Gonna serve God by His grace. Gonna serve God by His grace. So you know, preacher, when you get in a bad time, you still gonna preach like that? Well, I'm in a pretty bad time right now. I can't even hardly breathe. Gasping up here. Ask him in Sunday school. About fell flat on my face. Our family, just like your family, has gone through some deep waters, some troubled waters. But God has shown Himself to be faithful. Look over here and I see where Brother Don. Brother Don, sure is good to see you today. Tabitha and Nathan and family. Troubled waters. But you don't back up in these times. You might find yourself in a cave. You might feel isolated, alone. But I thank God He's our refuge. And He helps us. We got folks in the building, they've been sick for a month. Sick for a month. So wait a minute, preacher, that makes me nervous. I hope I didn't shake their hand during Shaking Hands Fellowship. I said they've been sick. That's past tense. But you don't quit serving God through sickness and sorrow and death and calamity. Right? Amen. And so that's going to lead us to our next and final thought. Verse number 7. I have to show you this because, I don't know, maybe my heart's a little twisted. But I like this. Verse number 6. Notice what David said's coming. He said in verse 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. So, don't think there'd be anybody here. Hope there's not anyone watching by live stream that has this thing. We're gonna do everything we can to tear down Fellowship Baptist Church. You better be careful. God might tear you down. You know, old Pharaoh said, we're going to drown all the babies. Guess who drowned in the end? All his army. Oh, Haman said, I'm going to build gallows and we're going to hang Mordecai. Guess who hanged on those gallows? You better be careful about those pits you're digging. You might be the one falling in it. So just be careful now. Is that a warning, preacher? You take it any way you want. I'm just saying be careful. You be careful. Now, God's not going to put up with you messing with his church. Amen. We're God's people. That doesn't mean that we can just do any old way we want and God will be okay with it. But it does mean this. It means when people come out against us and speak out against us and work against us, that they might end up, that pit they're digging, falling in, look at the latter part of verse number 7, falling in it themselves. You won't have to push them in it. Sometimes we get involved in trying to defend ourselves and just should leave it up to God. God will take care of it. Amen. That's right. Look at verse 7 now. I'm going to bring this to a close. We're not going to leave people in the pit. We're going to go forward from here. David said, my heart is fixed, steadfast. I looked that word up. I knew it didn't mean, I just knew that it didn't mean mended. My heart is fixed means steadfast, means consistent. Decided, sure. My heart is sure. I'm just sure in whom I have believed. I'm just sure that my God is the Most High God. I'm just sure that God is my refuge. My heart is fixed. Can I tell you, as I stand before you this morning, my heart is fixed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, amen, that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My heart is fixed. And then David said it again. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Gonna sing. David, they're after you. David, they're talking about you. David, they're saying what they're gonna do. David, they said they're gonna dethrone you. David, they said they're gonna kill you. I'm gonna sing a song. Why? My heart is fixed. Can you sing a song in the night? If you can't, it may mean your heart's not fixed. Can you sing a song in the face of danger? Can we praise God in the valley, in the cave? God, grow us to this place that we can say, come what may, I'm going to serve God with my life. Can I tell you, and I'm going to, got a couple things and I'm going to close, but please don't miss this. Please don't miss this. If you have not settled in your heart, I am going to serve God. I call it the Joshua effect. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no conditions there. There's no conditions. Now, sir, if you haven't called your family and gathered them under your wing, and you haven't made that resolution and that proclamation, I pray to God before the sun sets today, you would call your family together and do that very thing. We are going to serve God, family. But Dad, but honey, what if calamities come? My heart is fixed. We're going to serve God anyway. Well, what if sorrow comes? My heart is fixed. I'm going to serve God anyway. What if we have financial woes or your health fails you, Dad? My heart is fixed. I'm going to serve God anyway. My heart is fixed. David said it with conviction, brethren, with conviction. He repeated it for emphasis. This is not some emotional feeling that he had in a dark, damp cave. It's a reality that he had in his heart. He said in verse 8, awake up my glory, awake psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I'm going to walk around sulking and talking about, you know, well, God let me down in this situation. No, I'm going to praise God among the people. He said, I want to be a witness. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Is that where you want to be in life? God, I just want you to get the glory. That's what this psalm is about. One more verse of scripture. We're going to stand to our feet and have prayer. Psalm 34. If you'll turn there. It goes right along with what David is saying here. Brethren, we all go through hard times in our life. Every one of us. Every one of us now. There's one thing that we all have in common. Trouble. In this life, you shall have tribulation. Pastor BJ done a great job with that verse Wednesday. He really did. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's one thing in life that we all have in common. Trouble. Saved, unsaved, it rains on the just and the unjust. You hear me now? Oh, this old life is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man born of woman, doesn't matter if you've been redeemed or not, your days are going to be full of trouble. Now, the Word of God teaches that. So prepare for it. How? Fix your heart that you're going to praise God come what may. Psalm 34, verse 1. Look at it there. I will bless the Lord at all times. What a statement. Do you mean David? By the way, this is David. Read the heading there. His behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. He said, I'm going to praise the Lord at all times. Good times, I'm going to praise the Lord. Bad times, I'm going to praise the Lord. Off times, I'm going to praise the Lord. See, that's something you have to fix in your heart. That just doesn't happen. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's stand to our feet. Well, I've tried to be faithful to preach what God laid on my heart. We're going to get back in Joshua. I've got three outlines in Joshua that I prepared the last several weeks, and God just wouldn't let me preach them. Chapter 6, chapter 7, on up into chapter 9. And I just want to be obedient to the Lord. I don't want to just preach something because it's what I want to do. See, I'm trying to pray and not just do what seems right to me. And it's not just in scripture and sermon preparation. I want to do it in every aspect of my life. And so you pray for your pastor. I want to pray. And I just don't want to, you know, up. And I was telling the class this morning, this is going to lose you right here. But I want to just take a vacation. I want to pray and ask God. You say, I ain't going to pray about vacation, preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you what I told my Sunday school class. You pray about it. You got your 7 days planned. God might say, go ahead and take 10. Ain't you glad you prayed about it? Some of you ain't going to pray about it. That's all right. Do what's right in your own eyes. It doesn't lead to good things. All right? I think we're just going to do this. Did you pray about that? It's serious business. A lot of people calling themselves Christians, not praying about things they're doing, and then wondering why things are not working out. So I'm just trying to help you. Let's bow our heads together.